Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the place to be if you are a sci-fi or fantasy reader. My name is Laura and I am your host. I am a reader, writer, and whiskey drinker here to share with you the person behind the page, the author. Today's featured author is Helen Shora. Let me tell you a little bit about Helen. Helen is a YA fantasy author of the best-selling trilogy The Oromir Chronicles and The Curse of the Siren Queen Quartet. Her work has been highly praised for its strong, flawed female characters and action-packed plots. Now a full-time author, Helen lives amidst the mountains of central Otago, New Zealand, and is constantly dreaming up new stories. I don't know about you, but I am so excited for this episode. Helen is an incredible author. I absolutely loved her YA series, specifically book one of Curse of the Siren Queen, A Lair of Bones. A deadly contest, a vaulting ambition. How far will one siren go to win? Mighty sirens have ruled the ancient lair of Sidoriel for centuries, a cavernous fortress, a subterranean labyrinth of tunnels and levels, powered by magic and music. From the moment she was born, Ro, the daughter of an infamous criminal, has been despised by her own kind. Restricted to the lower sector and forced to work as a common bone cleaner, she has always believed she belongs above, where lies adventure and power. Opportunities arise in the form of the Queen's Tournament, a treacherous set of trials that could see the victor crowned ruler of the entire lair. Up against the most cunning, dangerous sirens in all the realms, does Ro stand a chance? This book was so much fun, and our chat was even more exciting. Let's dive in with Helen. Hello, Helen, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to get stuck in.
I know. I feel like before we pressed record, we talked about so much. Hopefully we have more to talk about for the listeners, because that's what we're here for. We are here to talk to all of the readers about A Lair of Bones, Curse of the Siren Queen, Book 1. And isn't it gorgeous? But first, tell me, why did you want to become a writer?
I've always wanted to be a writer. I've been writing since I was a little kid. It's something I did all throughout school and high school. And it sort of got to the end of high school and, you know, we were starting to think about where to go to university, what to study. And it was the only thing that I could think that I wanted to spend an extra 3 years of my life working on. So I did a degree in creative writing and I wrote a bunch of really terrible manuscripts throughout my degree. And it's something I've never stopped doing. And I guess in about 2016, I sort of rediscovered my love of fantasy. And that's where my first book, Heart of Mist, came from. And I've been doing that ever since.
Oh, I love it. I love hearing origin stories, how you became a writer and all of this. And you have quite a few books on your plate. So do you want to give our listeners kind of a rundown of what you currently have out there for them to buy?
Yeah, sure. It's funny you say that because to me it doesn't feel like all that much. Like I'm an indie author and so I know a lot of authors who have this huge catalog of books. So in comparison, it doesn't really feel like I've got a lot. But I've got two almost complete series. I think by the time this airs, my second series will be complete. So my first series is called The Oromir Chronicles, and that is young adult epic fantasy. And my second series, Curse of the Siren Queen, is also young adult epic fantasy. And The Oromir Chronicles is a trilogy plus a prequel collection, and Curse of the Siren Queen is a quartet. And they're all big, chunky fantasy books with epic quests, strong heroines, all that good stuff we love in fantasy. That's pretty much what I'm about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice big and meaty books. And I think that was one of the things, as soon as I received the book in the mail, I was like, holy, this is huge. And I mean, I read a lot of books for the podcast. And just to reference back to how you have a lot of books on Read It With Whiskey, most of the people I feature only have maybe 3 or 4 books. So you are there you go. That makes a little bit more sense. But yeah, when I first got this book in the mail, I thought this is going to take me a while to read. Like it's really meaty. Lady, I read it in 2 days. I sat down and I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. And I just couldn't stop. I couldn't put it down. And it was funny because I was actually reading it in July. No, I was reading it in the beginning of August and I wanted to finish it before I went to the Podcast Movement Conference in Dallas. And I finished it like 2 weeks before the conference. So I was blown away with how quick it pulled me in, the characters, the entire story. With that being said, you should probably tell our listeners, what is this book all about?
Well, firstly, thank you. I think that's music to any author's ears, hearing that someone's mm-hmm. gone through their book so quickly. Any author is really happy to hear that. In terms of what the book is about, it is a young adult epic fantasy that follows the story of Ro, who is sort of bottom rung of the ladder in her home, which is a lair of bones. She is a siren, which is sort of a riff on the mythological Greek siren. And she's not having a good time being the lowest of the low in this lair. And every 50 years or so, there's a tournament for anybody who wants to enter to potentially become queen of the siren race. And it's essentially, I guess, sort of Hunger Games meets Throne of Glass. It's found family, epic quests, obviously a deadly tournament, and all that, you know, sort of juicy stuff that comes with it. So, yeah, A Lair of Bones is the first book in the quartet, and it follows the story of that particular part of the tournament. And, yeah, then it all kicks off from there.
Yes, I was really, I was excited, but I was angry at the end of the book. And we're not going to tell our listeners why. You're going to have to read it. But I will just say it is making my fingers itch to go to Amazon and purchase book two right away. I just can't wait to dive in and see what happens with the rest of the story. Oh, but it's just so much fun. I love that you mentioned Hunger Games, because that was actually part of one of the questions was, did Hunger Games have a play or kind of like some inspiration? Were you drawn by that story at all?
I mean, I read Hunger Games maybe well over a decade ago now. Mm-hmm. But I suppose it must just have been one of those books that sort of sits at the back of your head. And I do remember binge reading those books. And I love competition. I think competition is like a universal sort of trope, a universal like fantasy of a lot of people, because it sort of, it just amps everybody up. It feeds that sort of addictive nature of books. And so, yeah, I mean, I remember binge reading The Hunger Games. I remember loving them. But I suppose I didn't necessarily sit down and think, I'm going to write the next Hunger Games or anything like that. It's just right. It's just maybe sort of like a soft influence in the background. I mean, there are lots of tournament-style books, in particularly in young adult as well. But, yeah, I suppose it did definitely influence some of it. And what I love about the tournament is that it gives you a real structure to work with, and it really helps keep that pacing up throughout the book. And as you said, you know, like it is a chunky book. So you want to make sure that, you know, the pace keeps going and it doesn't sort of taper off and the reader gets bored. So, yeah.
Exactly. And when you have that type of competition, you know, at least know some of the stages that the characters are going to have to go through. Yeah, it keeps the pacing, it keeps it moving forward. But yeah, throughout the Queen's Tournament, as it was evolving, I was getting Goblet of Fire vibes mm-hmm. from Harry Potter, the Hunger Games, and I just love it. I love that trope, trying to challenge to win something, if it's recognition or if it's a role, to win the ownership of the land kind of thing. Yeah. I love that trope. And I think that's one of the reasons why it really pulled me through the whole time.
Oh, good.
So we know those could have had a little bit of an inspiration, but what was it that really inspired you, or where did the story come from, I suppose?
Well, so I suppose to give you a bit of context, both my series, The Oromia Chronicles and Curse of the Siren Queen, they're set in the same universe. And towards the end of the Oromia Chronicles, we actually, through the main character of that series, get a glimpse at A Lair of Bones, mm-hmm. like the setting within the book. And the sort of two worlds collide a little bit there. And we get a glimpse at the sirens, which I think are really intriguing, wicked, dangerous, like, you know, super high stakes sort of creatures. And towards the end of writing War of Mist, which is the third book in the Oromia Chronicles, I just started to get the back of my head, just I really wanted to maybe explore that setting in a lot more detail, because it is this really gritty, like it is a lair made of bones. It doesn't get any darker, any grittier than that. And so I think that's where I started. I knew that I knew I wanted the two series to be set in the same universe. I knew I wanted there to be breadcrumbs throughout each, so that if there were readers coming from one to the other, they could appreciate that. And you don't have to read one to read the other. It's just like something I like doing. But yeah, I think it started with the Lair of Bones, which really sort of captivated me as a setting. And then something I was sort of toying with towards the end of wrapping up the first series and going into the second was like what sort of ultimate question I wanted to be asking. And for me, the competition and Ro as a character who started forming in my mind, the two of them came together in the ultimate question of how far would you go to get what you want? And I loved the idea of exploring that question in a really dark setting. And that's sort of where it all snowballed from.
Oh, I love that. I love the darkness in it. Like their job is to clean bones. Mm-hmm. Like how much darker can you get?
Yeah.
And let's expand a little bit on that. Let's talk about the Sirens. What are these creatures like? And maybe tell us a little bit about the hierarchy of their community.
Okay, so for me, the Sirens are sort of loosely inspired by the Greek mythological sirens who can lure sailors to their death with their song. And so in my universe, all sirens have a death song, which they can use as a weapon, essentially. They're not mermaids, which I think sometimes people get a bit confused with. They're like walk around and breathe and everything just like a human does. They can have talons if they like unsheath them. They've got scales at their temples. They're all, you know, beautiful because they're used to like luring people. And yes, but within the Lair of Bones, there's a very sort of structured hierarchy. There's the upper sector, the mid sector, and the lower sector. And Ro, who's our protagonist, is from the lower sector. And she's also got a sort of like extra problem to deal with in the fact that her mother is an infamous criminal. And she is imprisoned in the prison in the Lair of Bones, which is also a pretty grim place, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And so she's constantly faced with not only is she a lowly bone cleaner, but she's also someone who is the lowest of the low in that respect as well. And so she's constantly trying to prove herself, trying to find a better place in the world. And that's sort of where her journey starts. And the segregation across the Lair of Bones is quite clear. And there's, I think that sort of adds to the element of competition in the wanting to climb up the ladder. And then above everybody else is Queen Delia, who's also a very complicated character and has a lot of secrets. So I think that sort of answers your question.
Yes, the secrets. I think that's something that also helped motivate me while reading, was that there was a lot of mystery. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of unknowns, and you wanted to find out the secrets because our main character, she knows a few things. She keeps a few things hidden herself. But there's also things that she doesn't know that she wants to learn throughout the story. And I know some of them were revealed in the end. We're not going to talk about that. But I know there was more that are going to be obviously revealed in the rest of the four books. Let's talk a little bit about the world. You already mentioned it, that the world had come up in the previous book series that you had written. So how was that process of creating this hierarchy, this world? What was that like for you?
It's really interesting because I always start a book or I start a series with the map, because with my books in particular, there's always some sort of journey, particularly across the whole series. So I knew that the worlds were linked from one series to the next, but I did get to start anew with this map. So yeah, the map for the previous series is actually called the Upper Realms, so it sits above that. So I knew that I didn't have to necessarily contain myself to the previous world, And then I got to start, I got to start afresh with this one, and it all starts with the map for me. And I draw a very, very rough, horrible map, which then I give to a map designer. And working with the map designer always sort of prompts a lot of the world building itself, because the map designer for my first and my second series, she was particularly detailed about, you know, you can't have this type of tree here because it's next to this sort of landmark and those two wouldn't go together, or, you know, this can't be a winter continent because the sun is over here and blah, blah, blah. Like, it really starts to shape the world, like, alongside your ideas. So, yeah, I started with the map, and the map, I suppose, is also a map of where the series is going to go. So the first book is contained to a particular location on the map, and then the rest of the series will explore the rest of the map. And I always find that very motivating in terms of building the world and getting to think about where the characters are set in this first book, but also where they're going to go next and how that's going to contrast against where they've been and what they know and all the lessons that they can learn. So, yeah, it all just sort of starts with the map for me.
I have a string, or like a theme, of maps within my sci-fi trilogy, and I haven't had them developed yet because in my brain, I don't know how to put them on paper. And I'm like, I should have done the map before the books like you did. That would have made it so much more simple. So I know for the future, I'm definitely going to be doing the map first, because otherwise you can just get caught in circles. Yeah. Like, did they take a left or did they take a right? That means they went into the desert instead of the forest.
It's super tricky. I mean, I've just gone through this process again in writing a new series starter, and it's a new map. It's new everything. And I drafted my map as I was writing. And that meant that when I came up with a new setting or I needed something to be a particular place, I could change it and edit it. And it wasn't really until I'd wrote the entire first draft that then I commissioned the professional version of the map, because I didn't want to put everything in stone before I knew what was happening and who needed to go where in the journey.
Exactly. Oh, that's so exciting. I just love hearing about that process for all authors, because every author is a little bit different.
Oh, absolutely.
Recently on TikTok and Instagram, I've seen the like, you drop the coffee beans on the paper and that's how you draw your map. I'm like, I've never even heard of this before. Apparently I've been living under a rock because people have been doing it for decades. But yeah, it's just interesting how people develop their worlds. And some people don't even have a map. They're just like, nope, no map. You can just imagine yourself away and it works for them. So to each his own, I guess. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the characters. So we dove in a little bit about our main character. Obviously, we're going to follow her throughout the series. But I would love to know, who was your favorite character to actually write, to put pen to paper?
This question is always so difficult because it's like picking your favorite child. Yeah. I suppose Ro, I think, came more easily for me to write, because I share a couple of traits with her. She has sort of anxious tendencies to like overthink and stuff, but also she's incredibly ambitious and she has this drive, and I think I share that with her. So it was easy to get into her head for me in that respect. But in terms of where I found the most joy, I think, was when I wrote the banter between her and Odie. And Odie is her human companion, who she sort of gets lumped with against her will throughout the tournament. And I particularly loved writing their banter, writing all the interactions with them over the course of the book that showed how their relationship changed so drastically. And then throughout the series, it's been incredibly fun writing both of them. And also there's some more characters that don't really come into it until later on, so I can't go into that too much.
At least we know that Ro and Odie continue on within the series.
Yes.
And that's the important part, because I loved their relationship and I love how they were brought together, forced to hang out together and be together all the time, basically. You'll have to read the book to find out why. But I liked how their relationship evolved as the story went on. And I'm not going to say that because it's just going to give away some stuff. So I'm going to move on from that topic. But Ro's best friends, Harlan and Orson, do you want to tell us a little bit about them?
They're, I suppose, very much found family. So Rose, mum's in prison. She doesn't know anything about her dad. They're all from this lower sector and they're all just sort of misfits who are thrown together. And Orson and Harlan are definitely Rose found family. They're her sisters. They do everything together. They've always got each other's back. But they all want to enter this tournament and there's only one place for someone from their sector. So that sets off some really interesting dynamics between the three of them. But I really love the sort of how different they all are. And they actually remind me of me and some of my friends that growing up I had two friends and there was the three of us. And three is always an interesting dynamic because, you know, it's not, you can't always, when you need to do something in a pair, there's always one left out. There's always sort of different feelings and insecurities and all these sorts of things going on in a group of three, I think. And so that's really fun to play with as an author. And, you know, they're all super different. Harlan is this flirty, confident, sarcastic siren. Orson is the sensible one. She's a little bit older than the other two and she's sort of the voice of reason, and Rose the go-getter and she wants to go get shit done. And so when you put all three people or sirens like that together, you can come up with some really interesting dynamics and really interesting scenes to explore. And it's also a really interesting reflection of the book's theme, which is how far will you go to get what you want? And each one of them has a different answer to that question, which is very fun to play with.
Very well said. Oh, that was incredible.
Thank you. Not bad for someone who hasn't read the book in, what has it been, like 2 years?
Right? Oh, I love that. And I just read it like a couple weeks ago and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. But I think it's really cool about a trio of friends is that there's always that kind of camaraderie and dynamic. No matter who the people are, you find these strengths and weaknesses and you kind of balance each other out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what the friends do for Ro, is they kind of balance her out and they're kind of that backbone that she needs, that found family, because her mom's in prison. She doesn't have any siblings. And so I just love that dynamic. And I'm really excited to see what happens moving forward, moving into book two. I'm just like, oh, tell me everything now. Is there anything you can tell us about book two, book three, book four, which is now that this episode is released, the book will have just released before this. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to kind of give the readers?
Oh, that's really tricky. That's really tricky without wanting to spoil things. I will say allegiances shift, dynamics shift. People who were in the first book become main players in the books that follow in really interesting ways. It is a lot. It's a huge quest. It's a huge quest around the entire realm. What I love about that is when people are on the road, when they don't have the sort of comforts of everyday life and all of that stuff, it brings out a very interesting side to people, particularly when you're in a sort of ragtag crew. And I guess that is the term that I would apply to Ro and the people who then go on the journey with her. It's very much ragtag crew. A lot of them are butting heads at first. And as we go across the next three books in the series, we sort of see people come together, people get torn apart, betrayals, secrets, all that sort of stuff.
You are pulling me in. I am ready for book two. Here I go. All right. So I think, yeah, if we touched on anything else within the story, we would go into spoiler territory. We want to stay away from that spoiler territory because everybody listening, you got to go and pick up this book. Like I said, I read it in 2 days. Oh my goodness. So you have two full series out already. Do you have any projects that you're working on that you are able to share with us today?
Yeah, I mean, I think by the time this airs, I will have announced it. I've announced some things to my patrons on Patreon. I've announced a couple of things to my newsletter subscribers. So I'm just going to go for it. I'll tell you what's happening. So now that Curse of the Siren Queen has wrapped up, I am working on a brand new series. This is my first venture into adult fantasy. So my previous two works have been young adult, albeit they've been very dark young adult. So I don't think the leap between the two is too big. But yeah, it's an adult romantic fantasy is my next series. It is called The Legends of Thesma. That's the series title. And the first book is Blood and Steel, which I hope to have out in the first quarter of 2023. And yeah, it is my biggest book that I've ever written. So I don't know, I can't remember how many words A Layer of Bones was, but The Fabric of Chaos, which is the biggest book in Curse of the Siren Queen, was 123,000 words, and Blood and Steel, as of the draft I'm currently working on, is 134,000 words. So
wow.
It is a beast, but it is so much fun. I'm having so much fun with it. It is about a young alchemist who, it's fantasy again, so it's sort of that pseudo-medieval sort of setting. Mm-hmm. But it's about a young alchemist who knows the date of her death, and she's fighting against that to become a legend. She wants to make a name for herself. She wants to become one of the most elite warriors in all realms, in a realm where women warriors are forbidden. So it's sort of about her journey to, A, fight against her fate and become the thing that she wants to become the most. And, yeah, along the way, found family, ragtag crew. You can't really have a romantic epic fantasy without a brooding warrior. So there's one of those. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's the first in a series, and it's actually the first time that I've not committed to the number of books prior to the first mm-hmm. one coming out. Just so, you know, if the story needs to, I'm not kind of reeling it in before it's ready. But, yeah, that's what's happening next. It's hopefully nearly done. I'm on a final read-through before I get some final feedback, and then it's off to the editor. So, yeah.
Oh, that is so exciting. Oh, I am here for that. Thank you for sharing.
No worries.
All right. So this is Read It With Whiskey, and it wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So, Helen, do you drink whiskey? And if so, what's your favorite whiskey to drink?
Sadly, I do not drink whiskey. I mean, I've tried it. I've tried it when I was in Scotland, which was a big, big deal for me because I'm a big Outlander fan.
Oh, yeah.
And we do have a distillery not too far from where I live here in New Zealand, but I am very much more a wine and gin person. My partner's actually a wine advisor, so we get a lot of nice discounted wine. But also, for other people's reference, it's only just gone midday here in New Zealand, so it might be a bit hardcore for me to be drinking a gin at this time.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, it's 8 p.m. here, and I am sipping on my whiskey and absolutely loving it. That's like the running theme with these, because I have a lot of international authors who come on the show, and it's either early morning for them or early morning for me. And then when I have my States people, I'm like, okay, we can both drink whiskey together instead of us, one of us whiskey and one of us coffee or tea.
Next time I'll have to have like a mimosa or something like that, breakfast cocktail.
All right. So where can listeners find you and find your books and follow along with your journey?
Yeah, sure. So probably the best place to start if you're interested in any of my fiction is Amazon. It's also available in KU and audiobook. My website is a good place to find out more about me. I also, on my website, offer 3 free prequel novellas to Curse of the Siren Queen. They're called Siren Queen Origins, and they follow the story of Rose, mum, who ends up in prison in the main series. So it's a nice little introduction to the sort of world of Sidoriel, which is the Siren territory. And, yeah, they're available for free on my website. And I'm on most of the usual social medias. I'm most active on Instagram and trying my best at TikTok at the moment.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Yeah.
I love it. Well, this has been incredible. I'm so happy to have you on the show. And just thank you so much for your time and to share your story with all of our listeners here. And yeah, hopefully we'll maybe have you back in the future for some other series that you have coming
up. Yeah, I'd love that. Thanks so much for having me. And thanks for reading A Layer of Bones.
Helen is incredible, and she is everywhere in the self-published world right now. So if you haven't heard of her, hop on over to Instagram. She has amazing content, and obviously her books are to die for. I'm so excited to continue on with this series. And I do want to mention, Helen just recently announced the new books that she is working on, adult romance fantasy. And you guys, I am here for this. I mean, her YA books were incredible. They are incredible as I'm reading through them now. But I am so excited to see these adult romance fantasies come about because I know they're going to be incredible. All right, so next week on Read It With Whiskey, if you listened to the last episodes prior to this interview with Helen, you realized that, whoa, we had an episode come out between the two interviews. What is this? These are bonus episodes, and you guys, I'm so excited about these solo and discussion-based episodes that are coming out. So last week we talked about reading challenges, and this week we have another reading challenge topic, but this time it's about NaNoWriMo. And I know what you're thinking. NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month, and if you are a writer, then you might know what that is. And how is NaNoWriMo a reading challenge? Like, this does not make sense, Laura. You have to explain yourself. And I will in next week's episode. So be sure to tune in and I will tell you all about it. I'll talk to you then. You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I'm your host, Laura Gentinen, and I want to personally say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would love to get to know you. Hop on over to Instagram and follow us at Read It With Whiskey. Please chime in on this episode's post, share it on your social media and with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.